Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
There's a war on Christmas? Has anyone told Thanksgiving? Because this year, Black Friday, a.k.a. Christmas's opening bell, got moved back a day to Black Thursday, or as we used to call it, Thanksgiving. Christmas is so big now, it's eating other holidays. Watch your ass, Halloween. You're next. Let me ask you a question. Do atheists land an occasional blow? I guess. Even the Washington Generals get lucky once in a while. But when you look at the overall record between the two teams, for God's sakes, there are radio stations that play nothing but Christmas carols, stores that sell nothing but Christmas decorations all year long. There is a TV channel devoted to a Yule log. And it's kicking CNN's ass in the ring. But don't worry. Don't worry, non-log-burning channels. There's Christmas programs for you as well. There's old-timey, traditional Christmas programming. Really old-timey, Dickensian Christmas special programming. New-timey, hey, urban Christmas specials. Mormon Christmas specials. Country-Western Christmas specials. Chipmunk Christmas specials. Otter Christmas specials, bear Christmas specials, cat Christmas specials, large-headed child Christmas, gay Christmas, Jewish Christmas, whatever the f*** this is Christmas, Christmas underwater, Christmas from the future, prehistoric Christmas. That's right, there's a Christmas special celebrating Jesus' birth thousands of years before the birth of Jesus.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a pierogi's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Planets are in the man.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. He's so green, he takes his life in his hands every time he walks across an intersection. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time!
And welcome to your War on Christmas headquarters. I am, you know, if Bill O'Reilly is looking, and by the way, that bit I played, the John Stewart at the top of the show, that's from last year.
Which is really funny because this week he had another version.
Right. He's going after Macy's now, right?
Yes. Because
so
of
we'll play that next week.
Yeah.
The War on Christmas. And, I am the official head of the War on Christmas. I will take it. If Bill O'Reilly wants to go after me, he's welcome. That'd be cool. Come on. Bring it on, dude.
It's so crazy.
You know.
Because they don't have enough to complain about.
I know. Well.
Buddy, can I?
And you know what else?
Did you see the really funny?
Did I hear something going on in the other room there? Was that Sarah Batka?
Yeah, Denny's teaching me the board.
So we have no Rob. We have no Carol. So they actually put you in charge of the phones.
That's fantastic.
She wanted to. She kicked me out.
Did she really?
I don't know what I was doing.
Were you guys arm wrestling over this?
No, she felt it would be better if I was actually in the studio with you. So she said she would be in the little closet by herself.
It's because I get lonely here in the studio by myself?
No, it's just because I'm mute when I'm in the studio.
You know, that's true. Sarah sits here for two hours and she doesn't say anything. You know, this is my connect. You're my connection to Illinois Extension. Sarah, you know everything that's going on. You have all the activities, and you don't say a word.
I'm very shy, but that's my
not
biggest resolution. I know it's this darn microphone.
Don't look at it.
Just look at Mike, or just look at me.
Put a hat over the microphone. Cover it up.
Not even here.
It's not there. This big thing sticking in your face there. No, it's
the thing that I love about Sarah too is she has such a giggly voice. Like, her voice is so happy, and then when she actually laughs, it's contagious, too.
The happy voice. So, well, welcome, Sarah. Welcome, Lisa.
Good morning.
The rest of the team is not here at the moment, but they will be. Because something very special is happening after the show today. And that is the annual taping. Because we're not doing it live on the 22nd of December. The annual taping of...
Although that would be funny.
It would be great. I mean, you're welcome to come in. If we were going to do it live, that'd be fine with me. But I know a lot of you have commitments and stuff. But we're doing the annual taping of It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. And not only do I have Lisa and Sarah... and Rob and Carol, and Rob and Carol coming in after the show to tape this. I've got Ron Cowgill from Mighty House coming in. And Robbie Earhart from Mighty House.
Yay.
And Denny Sheeter, and the whole thousands and thousands of people will join me as I do my 10-minute interpretation of It's a Wonderful Life. And you're playing Mary, of course, again.
Oh, George.
George. Oh, Mary. Mary. Sarah's playing...
Zuzu, Jeannie, and Little Harry.
Give me a help, George, help.
Help, George, help!
Okay, now like a little kid.
Help, George, help!
There we go. Hang on, Harry! George saved his brother's life that day. And that's how it is. So we're going to tape that after this show today. And that will air on the 22nd, my annual... We got a call pouring in here.
Already?
Look at that, sis. You got to actually watch the phone, Sarah. I'm sitting here watching it ring, and Sarah's like, da di da di da di da.
Help, George, help.
That's
you
right.
You distracted her.
I did distract her. So anyway, today, and he's online right now, being very, very patient, our first guest, and we'll get to him in just a second. That's Tom Watson. And you don't know Tom, but you will in just a couple of minutes. He's with King County Recycling and Environmental Services, King County as in Seattle, King County. And he contacted me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, let's talk about greening up the holidays. So that's what we're going to do. And I am sending out an invitation to everybody listening to the program right now to call us, get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. You can go to The Mike Novak Show on Facebook. Go to Mike Now on Twitter. And give us your best green ideas for the holiday. I don't mean just Christmas trees.
Oh, yes.
I mean, how? And there was one, and I put it on the website. I don't know if you saw this, Lisa, but an organization called Green America did a thing on... what are really bad things to do for the holidays? What are really good things to do? And what are the solar things to do for the holidays?
Come on, just for me?
Just for you. So go to Mike Novak, MikeNovak.net, this week's show. And the one, the title of it is Going Really Green for the Holidays. And if you scroll down to the bottom of that first bit there, you'll see there's a bullet point. It says Green America has its own naughty, nice, and solar lists for the holidays. So we'll have to go into that a little bit, and you can tell me if you agree. Of course, Lisa being our solar queen here. And I also imagine that you're waiting to surprise me here.
Uh-oh. Sure.
I know.
Well, I'll be surprised.
Yeah, wait. Are you surprising Sarah or me?
Which one of us? Winner?
Which one of us won the car?
Sorry.
What? We didn't win the electric car?
You did not win the car. Trust me, if you won the car, I would be beating my way to your houses to tell you. No.
Oh, I thought you were going to surprise us on air.
That's what I was hoping, too. I was like, the reason I didn't hear yesterday is because we won
secret.
And she wants to surprise us on air. I didn't win the electric car.
No. And unfortunately, we did not sell enough tickets. We were so close. So it ended up going to the 50-50 split. So the winner got $22,800.
Oh, my God. I would have taken that.
Yeah,
that would have been
fine. Not a bad thing either, right?
No.
So we got really close, and what we realized is we probably just needed one more month of sales.
Oh, I can't believe people didn't
so
put their
close.
Money in. $40 to win an electric car. Come
it
on.
Was it was a great contest.
It was.
And we had people from all over the country.
And that was the Illinois Solar Energy Association, who you should support.
Yes, please. We have a lot going on this coming next year. We had our annual meeting yesterday and kind of put together our 2014 vision. I have a lot to do with policy.
Do you?
We have things to fix.
You're a big mucky muck with ISEA?
I'm on the board of directors.
Well, I knew that.
Well, and I chair.
When are they going to make you grand poobah?
I don't want to be grand poobah.
Okay.
But I chair the policy committee because I can't sit on the sidelines and watch the lack of policy, which is really the problem.
And of course, you have all this spare time to do all this stuff, too. Yeah.
I love my job. I love solar. I think it's.
I know.
It's our salvation.
When are we going to put solar on my house?
Oh, we got to do that.
We've got to.
After the show, we're going to pull your house up on satellite.
All right, good. And we'll look at it. All right. I want my house on solar. I want to be able to come on the show and say, my house is on solar.
All right.
Rick DeMaio weather, 9:45, as always. You have to call him, Sarah. You know that, right?
Yes, I got it.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
All right, good. Melinda Myers in the second hour. She has... Okay, you want to talk about a woman who does a lot of stuff. And who just embarrasses me. She's just come up with four books.
How do you write four books?
I don't know. We'll have to ask her. And she will be here in studio. And the whole first hour is about green. Whole second hour is about gardening. Holiday plants, questions, you got them. Call in 773-763-9278. And I hope you're sending us your eco tips for the holidays right now. And so Melinda will be here for the second hour. She's written a book called The Midwest Gardener's Handbook, and it's really, you've got a copy of it there.
I'm looking at it right now. It's great.
It is.
I swiped it.
It is a terrific book. So she will be here. All right. Before we get to Tom, who's waiting very patiently, wait a second. Let's make sure he's waiting patiently. Tom, are you waiting patiently?
Oh, good morning, Chicago.
Don't you howl on my airwaves, dude.
So let's see. He's Seattle. So it's 7:15.
That's right. He's up early. You got your coffee there?
I got coffee. It sounds like you guys are having fun there today. And I hope to add to the fun out here from 2,000 miles away.
You will. Hang on just a second. I got two little things I want to do, and I'm going to get right to you. First, I got a note from Tom Shepard at the Southeast Environmental Task Force. And you asked me off the air before the show, Lisa, what's going on with Pet Coke? In Chicago. And I don't know if this is directly related, but he just sent me a message. He said it's just developed in the last day. A meeting of Tar Sands Free Midwest will be held at the Southeast Environmental Task Force office today at 3 p.m. The address is 13300 South Baltimore Avenue. We will be taking a car caravan tour of the Petcoke Mountains on the southeast side, followed by a discussion back at the task force offices. Join us for the tour at 3 or come for the meeting at 4. All are invited. Anybody can be there. Again, 13300 South Baltimore Avenue. And it'll be a tour of the Petcoke, the wonderful Petcoke Mountains that are developed. I don't know if you've been following this, Tom, but we've got byproducts of tar sands oil right here in Chicago, and gosh, aren't we proud of it.
You've been doing great work calling attention to it. I've been hearing about that issue in Detroit and Chicago, and it sounds awful.
And the other thing I want to call, yeah, it is awful. The other thing I want to call people's attention to, if they don't go to the Petco meeting, they can just go to their computers. This is the last day for the Kickstarter for the plant, and they need a Christmas miracle, to get to their goal. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. Go to go to Kickstarter, and you're looking for the plant living foyer. They're trying to put together a living foyer for this wonderful operation on the South Side that has everything. It's a closed loop energy building that's going to have already has aquaponics and a bakery and a brewery and businesses. Not even carbon neutral. It's going to be carbon negative. It's just an amazing and anaerobic digester that is being built right now. Please put your money towards, there's a great holiday idea. Go to Kickstarter, look up the plant, living foyer, or foyer, as some people say, and see if you can find it in your heart to help them out and see if they can reach their goal, because it's the last day. All right, Tom, we've got Tom on the line, Tom Watson with King County Recycling and Environmental Services. King County is in Seattle. Seattle, you guys, it feels like you're so far ahead of us in doing things like this. You've been doing this yourself within, what, 21 years or something?
I've been working for the county on these issues for that long, and before that, I was a writer for a recycling industry trade journal, and so I've been involved for a long time, but I think that there's great things going on in Chicago and all over the country. There's a little more of a political will and maybe a little more awareness on the West Coast, but on some things, you guys are ahead of us. So there's, just from your show, I've learned about a lot of great things going on in your area.
Well, I appreciate that. And, of course, you write a column, the Eco-Consumer column for the Seattle Times. What's the latest thing that you're writing about for the Seattle Times?
That column is every 2 weeks, and so newspapers like seasonal stuff, and so the columns in December are about green holiday type stuff, the kind of stuff that we're going to be talking about today. We try to have a concept of just thinking a little bit more and not getting hypnotized by this shopping and consumption frenzy, and just thinking about all the different ways that we can reduce the environmental impact from the holidays. So our website gives tips for, you know, crafts you can do with the kids and recycling your holiday lights, these things that you put on your website, and then you added all the Chicago examples, which was great.
Yeah, there's a hashtag that Green America, I put up the link to Green America. I don't know if you had a chance to see that yet, Lisa, but I put some of their links there. I love their hashtag, though. And their hashtag is Instead of Stuff.
That's great.
That's a great holiday hashtag. And Rob is probably out there listening and tweeting, Rob Carthold from our team here. Use that one, instead of Stuff. I like that.
I really try to link it into the whole global situation. Climate change is what we should try to keep in our minds at least some of the time, and that's what our individual actions during the holidays all add up to contributing to that. Bill McKibben once said that overconsumption is the number one North American environmental problem, and I support the, you know, jobs and businesses and all that, but we need to think about better ways and more sustainable ways to consume, and the holidays is a great time to consider that, because it's just so blatant, this pressure to buy stuff.
Yeah. You know, I don't even apologize for it anymore. I don't even throw the sop to the businesses and say, oh, please support the businesses. I mean, they're going to get supported anyway. My whole deal has become, stop buying so much junk. Just stop it. Stop it right. You know, like Jimmy Stewart, stop it. Stop it. You play that silly tune over and over again. Now stop it. And that's the way I feel about the junk, that people buy stuff just to buy stuff at Christmas. And I'm embarrassed. And as I wrote to you the other day, Tom, I said, Tom, somewhere Thomas Jefferson is weeping that his country is now known for buying stuff. That's our main export. Is that we're consumers. That's all we do. We don't manufacture anything. We don't lead the world morally anymore. We're really good at military stuff, and we buy stuff. Wow, that's kind of embarrassing, isn't it?
It is, but if you dwell on that too much, as you know, and I think you mentioned, you'll drive yourself crazy. And I think you do this too, try to emphasize the positive and what people can do. It is kind of a dark picture sometimes, but people like you and tons of people in the Chicago area and around the world are thinking differently and trying to change it. So we just have to keep trying to remind people and help people with that.
So
you support the good green stuff.
Yeah. So if you got to buy something, make it count. Make it worthwhile. And you talk about these kinds of things on the King County's Green Holidays page. And I've got the link to that. If you go to link, which is YOUR, as in your .kingcounty.gov.
Oh, there's a shortcut, Mike. It's kcgreenholidays.com.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got that. I didn't even find the shortcut because I always put the whole link in there. So what I just tell people is go to my website. Go to MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. But give me that again. What's the shortcut?
KC for King County, kcgreenholidays.com.
Okay, kcgreenholidays.com. And if you land on that page, you're going to see six major categories there with illustrations, with pictures. Give green, decorate ecotastically, entertain this, wrap it up. I'll take it. We need the fabulous Thunderbirds here. recycle the holidays. And get in the know. Is that you with the stocking cap on there, dude?
Yes.
where do you want to start? Which one, you know, grabs your attention right away, Tom?
Oh, I like them all. I want to hear what you want to ask about, or throw in your local examples, and any way I can contribute to that. I would encourage people to go to your page first, because it has the link star page, but it also has the examples you found of that in the Chicago area.
Well, one of them that you mentioned on your own pages is a way you green up your holiday and you support your local. You know, you want to buy stuff, then do it locally. Buy it in your own neighborhood. All right. For instance, and I'm going to talk about this later in the show this afternoon. It's a shame you're not in town, Tom. My caroling group, the Frozen Robins, will be appearing at the Peterson Garden Project's holiday market. And that market is from 10 to 8 p.m. today at their location on France. It's right at the Francisco Brown Line stop on the Brown Line. You just get right off, out the door, and bam, there you are at the Peterson Garden Project. What, Lisa?
That's my stop.
Is that your stop?
Yeah, I was there last night.
Okay. And we will be singing at 5 o'clock, and they're having their holiday market where you can support a really good cause, the Peterson Garden Project, which does community gardens all over the city, mostly the north side, but they're expanding all the time. And they've got stuff to sell today. Do I have the link? I don't know if I have the link, but I'm sure we'll put it up there. Sarah's nodding, and I'm sure Lisa... If you go to Peterson,
I can't keep up.
I know there's a lot going on today, but
I haven't posted the pet cook thing. I'm going to KC Green Holidays.
You got time. But that is a great way to do locally. But the other thing that I call attention to is Local First Chicago. Now they, you'll hear their promos here on Chicago's Progressive Talk. You've been hearing them during the week. And if you go to their site, you can go to the site called eatdrinkbylocal.org. And it's B-U-Y, by the way. Eat, drink, buy local. And it tells you how to do that locally. And that's just a great way to pump dollars into the local economy while you're doing your shopping. You don't need to go to the big box stores all the time. They're really, little businesses still do exist, believe it or not. And I imagine this happens in Seattle, Tom.
I just love those examples, and we do have things like that here and around the country. And in my last column about green holidays, I emphasize the community crafts fairs are great places to support local folks and find local and sustainable products. You find at those crafts fairs, like the one you're going to be at today, you find local food products that people have made. You find people who have gone to the thrift stores and gotten clothes and then repurposed them. They've taken several of them and made them into cool kids' clothes. I mean, you're going to see products like that today, and they're fantastic gift items, and it's really a fantastic way to go green for the holidays.
Yeah, and by the way, I was just looking here at the PGP Holiday Market. They're saying they're turning it into a pop-up shop to celebrate the talents of local garden community. You can get handmade, one-of-a-kind gifts from local artists, just like you're talking about, Tom, all in one unique shopping experience. They'll have everything from handmade gift cards, candles, knitted items, jewelry, garden ornaments, photography, baked goods, and much more. And if you want to stop by there, like I said, it's right at the Brown Line in Frisco, Francisco, rather, 4642 North Francisco Avenue in Chicago, 4642. You know, one of the things you talk about that I want to get your take on, Tom, is the idea of getting folks to make their own goods. That's one of the pages on the King County Green Holidays site. The problem with that, I would say, is that there's a lot of people in the world who feel like they're not good at that. They can't, you know, the stuff they make doesn't really work. And you also don't want to have people spending more time and energy than necessary.
Exactly. I've thought about that a lot, and we've talked about that in our program, and one tip is to start early if you can. And it's already almost getting to the point where it's not early anymore in the Christmas season.
Yeah, it's not.
But it might be something to think about next year, and it really relates to gardening. Some people might think, okay, I could can stuff. I could do herbal vinegars or can green beans or something that I grow. Maybe I'll do that next year. So I'm gonna start thinking about that now, when I'm going to plant my crop and when I'm going to harvest it, and put notes on my calendar, and that will be my gifts for next year. You really have to plan it, because you don't want to put a lot of pressure on yourself. I think that's the worst. If you don't want to feel guilty, you know, I have to make gifts, and it's December 15th. If it gets to that point, then just go to the crafts fairs or the farmer's market, buy local gifts. Don't worry about making it if it gets too late.
You know, one of the things, though, I have to admit, I was enamored by on the site, the wine cork trivet.
That's a great one.
That's an easy one.
I was just looking at that one. And the other one that I like is taking, like, bathroom tiles and doing, like, a decoupage and you take your own family photos and turn them into your own coasters and give away coasters.
So many ideas.
Great ideas on
the internet and find the videos and the all the blogs and just find those and make them your own. Some of them don't really take that much work. Or
not the wine cork trivet. And I'll tell you, we got the corks at our place.
Well, and
something that I mentioned in one of my last emails. I gave the link to our Pinterest page. Pinterest.com has. They have incredible ideas for corks. There's a million different crafts projects for the holidays and elsewhere. Fun things you can make from corks.
Fun with cork. Well, you know, I got a couple of big bags of corks at home, so we're looking for stuff to do with the corks.
You can make a holiday wreath. We showed this on one of our TV segments. So with corks, you string the corks around wire and put, like, some little bells or something. Make a holiday wreath for your door from your wine corks this year, Mike. Or next year, if there's not time this year.
Probably next year. I've been so busy during this holiday, mostly gigging you know, going out and singing. We were at the Morton Arboretum again last night. It was cold, by the way. It was very cold. But still, we had a lot of fun. But, okay, here, I have to take a short break, but I have a challenge I'm issuing to you, Tom. You can think about this. But not you so much, but my listeners here in the Chicago area. I'm trying to find, and I listed some places. I put a link to where you can recycle your tree lights and your outdoor lights, your Christmas lights. But there don't seem to be a lot of places in the Chicago area. Now, I did.
Doesn't the Home Depot take?
That's what I want to find out. I don't know.
Yeah,
do we know for sure?
I believe the Home Depot takes old lights. In fact, they'll give you a coupon.
Really?
In exchange for LEDs. I'll look that up.
I have some thoughts on that, too, and when we come back, I can tell you what I know about that.
All right, we are talking to Tom Watson with King County, Seattle, King County Recycling and Environmental Services. He is the writer of the Eco-Consumer column in the Seattle Times. We'll be right back with him. Get ready for the holidays with Bertolt's 12 days of Christmas sale. Each day you can save on something special, and you have to sing it while you're there on that day, the 12 days of Christmas sale. You can save on something special that will add to your holiday decorating. Holiday merchandise is 30% off on that special day, whichever day it happens to be, and get 10% off your holiday centerpiece, but you must order by next Friday, December 13th. Call 847-439-2650 to get that beautiful holiday centerpiece. Bertolt's has a great selection of poinsettias, garland, wreaths, swags. I love that word, swag, and greens. They also design custom outdoor planters for the holidays. Perfect for your front door or your deck. Give them a call, 847-439-2650. Bertolt's is your one stop for all your Christmas decorating and floral needs. And don't forget, they got a great floral shop there, too. Winter hours are Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bertolt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front. Go to bertoltsgardencenter.com or like them on Facebook. Bertolt's, get green. Let's get growing.
ComEd Smart Ideas presents The Power of Small Changes.
Help! I'm a light bulb left on in an empty room. My energy is being wasted.
Fear not. I can help. There you go.
I'm saved.
Be a hero.
Hooray!
Save energy. Visit ComEd.com/home savings to find discounts and money-saving tips, like switching to compact fluorescents.
Visit ComEd.com/home savings.
ComEd, powering lives. This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
The Mike Novak Show is sponsored in part by ComEd Smart Ideas. Discover instant discounts and money-saving tips at ComEd.com/home savings.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Well, it's that time of year when you start looking at seed catalogs. Gardeners everywhere start thinking about that as we approach the holidays. And one of the best places to go is D. Landreth Seed Company. And guess what? For 2014, Landreth is holding all of its prices at 2013 levels. Yes, I said that. Because of this, there was no need to print a 2014 catalog. And to respect the needs and wishes of almost everyone, they printed enough catalogs to supply anyone who does not have a 2013 catalog with a catalog for 2014. And they've also reduced the price to $5 out of consideration for those who purchased the 2013 catalog last year and they can't find it. And I understand what that's like. Now, here's something you need to know. This catalog is printed in the United States. They could have had it printed overseas, and the printing costs would be one quarter the cost of printing the catalog in the United States, but Landreth is not going to take American businesses overseas. And we're talking about shopping small, shopping local. This is a way to do it. To order some of the finest heirloom and historic seeds on the planet, go to LandrethSeeds.com. This will make a great gift. Get somebody a catalog and say, I'll tell you what, I'll get you a gift certificate. Here's $20 or 30 or 10 or whatever you buy yourself. You pick it out, whatever heirloom seed you want to get. Go to LandrethSeeds.com. or their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., or call 800-654-2407. The D. Landreth Seed Company is America's company. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seed since 1784.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Yes, nothing says Christmas like Tom Waits singing Silent Night. One of my favorite holiday. There's a lot of good ones out there. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And in this first hour, we're talking about greening up your Christmas. Ask and ye shall receive, Tom. No sooner did I ask people where they can recycle their lights, but I don't... Did you track this out or did somebody send this to us, Lisa?
Which, Scarce or the Woodbridge? Scarce, I found, but okay. One of our listeners typed in Jim Shout. I think that's how you say it, S-C-H-A-U-D-T.
Okay.
Said Woodridge Police Department will accept used Christmas lights.
Cool. And we went to Scarce, and you can go to scarceecoed.org. And Scarce is this wonderful organization, Tom. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're based in the burbs of Chicago.
I'm not.
And Scarce stands for, and it doesn't go by fast enough times for me because they just like to go by Scarce because nobody ever remembers the full title. Where is it?
It's School and Community Assistance for Composting and Recycling Education.
No, for Recycling and Composting Education.
Oh, composting. You're
dyslexic.
Great.
School and Community Assistance for Recycling and Composting Education. They do wonderful, wonderful work. And so if you go to Scarce site and you can just... you can on your
that's
search engine.
Funny, because on the Facebook page, they are dyslexic because their Facebook page, that's what their link says.
Oh, really? They got it wrong on their
Facebook? They have it wrong on their own Facebook page.
Amazing. But they've got a whole list of places where lights are accepted. And let's see. It says,
and I'm still looking for some Chicago sources.
Italian this is mini lights, traditional lights, extension cords, rope lights, LEDs, lights. Can be in working or non-working condition from any holiday. Click for more locations. And the locations they got up there right now include Bartlett Village Hall, Darien Police Department, Downers Grove Public Works Building, Elmhurst Public Works Garage, and York High School. And they've got other municipalities like Glendale Heights, Glen Ellen, Hanover Park, Itasca, Lyle, Lombard, Naperville, Roselle. You can do it. Scarce. Take it to Scarce. West Chicago, Westmont, Wheaton, Woodridge, Warrenville, Winfield, and Wheaton Park District. So there we go. See, and I was working too fast yesterday. I didn't even think about type in scarce, but that's another one. I think I'm going to go back to the website and add that, Tom.
That's great. And just to give a little background, there is a good market for the lights now because of the value of the copper in the wire. And most of the holiday lights that are collected for recycling end up in China. There are and are processed there. A few years ago, I was a little more skeptical of that, but now I'm feeling a little better about that whole industry of recycling holiday lights and similar wire and other items in China. I think more attention has been brought to it, and the Chinese government is tracking it. I mean, it might not be ideal conditions always for the workers and everything, but I think it's not terrible, and it's a way that they're getting recycled. So that's how it happens. And there are some national chains. You mentioned Home Depot, and Home Depot was giving a discount for their new LED lights if you brought in your old lights. We checked with local Home Depot stores, and they said Home Depot is not collecting them now. And I don't know if that's true for all.
Yeah, I found a link that showed
stores are taking them now.
Yeah, I found a link that showed that program ended November 17th.
I would call first. I wouldn't be surprised if some local hardware stores, so maybe some Ace Hardware or True Value connected stores in your area were taking them, but always call first to check before you bring in a bunch of lights.
And it makes me wonder if the hazardous waste pickup that City of Chicago has will take the lights. Did you look there?
I have not. I've been distracted by kingcounty.gov.
I know. And my friend Dan Costa from Vern Goer's greenhouse in Hinsdale just sent me an email. He says, you can drop off wine corks for recycling at Emilio's Tapas Bar Restaurant. The address is 4100 Roosevelt Road in Hinsdale. I bet there are other places that take them. He says
there
it's also
national cork recycling programs. The cork industry out of Portugal and the wine people, they have set up some of these programs. I think Whole Foods stores may take them and some other places. But I think reuse of corks is maybe even better, like you're going to do when you make your cork wreath. Mike, I think that's even better.
No, I'm gonna do the trivets.
The trivets are cool too.
Yeah, because you can use a lot of them, and yeah, now just give trivets to everybody. Everybody will get a trivet. Before I let you go, because we're running out of time here, Tom. One of the things I really liked that you did was this article on 10 creative ideas for greener giving, and I've got a link to it. And it was on publication Agewise King County. I think those are great. Can you give me a quick rundown on that?
Well, some of the ones the first one I think was consider donating.
It's called Create a Future, all right, you know, where it's actually creating a better future for someone. And that's, I think, my favorite, you know, and you mentioned the Philippines devastation, you can give money to relief efforts or try to affect climate change. You know, I mentioned on my website, Heifer International, which is a great organization.
That's a great one. You can give somebody a goat, right?
Right.
Helping somebody far away with a goat
or
in somebody's name,
cow,
here.
Or you know, something like bees. I guess they even do bees now. But you also say donate local and focused. What do you mean by that? Let me help you. I'm sorry. I kind of sucker punched you with that one. But
No, I know what it means. But I think one part of focus is consider the recipient of the gift and something that would be cool to them. And then you can also pick a local organization. Some of the many organizations that you talk about on your show would love a donation. And there's people that would love to get a gift to see that you donated to that organization in their name. So I think that's what I mean.
Yeah, you did. You said if you want to give a gift to someone who volunteers at a senior center, you could donate an item that the center needs.
That was the one. Okay, that was another. And I found it out from my own mother in the Midwest, who passed away last year at the age of 92. She volunteered into her 90s at a senior center, and they she was saying how they could have used a blood pressure gauge at the senior center. And I wish that I had just donated that, you know, before she died. That's the kind of thing. And I think that was even an example in there,
yeah,
in my article, that things like that would be a fun way. This article was aimed at seniors. It was in the AgeWise newsletter, so that's...
Yeah, I know that, but, you know, it really had practical advice. And one of the things you mentioned is farmers markets. That's a great place to get gifts for people. That's something they're not going to see very often.
And this ties in with your segment last week, your hour talking to about supporting local farmers. And,
yeah.
And she was talking about that, and I was listening to that last week and thinking, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to support local farmers. Some of these specialty, I know you hate that word, specialty.
Foods, growers. Yeah. Yeah, it's food. We're talking foods.
Support them there in the Chicago area by buying, you know, the pickled green beans from these farmers to give as holiday gifts.
Yeah, and one of the ones, and we'll end with this, that you suggest is give nothing. You know, I love that.
Right.
You know, let's negotiate here. Hey, listen, do you really have time to do this? No, I don't. Do you? No, I don't. Okay. Let's shake hands and pat each other on the back and say Merry Christmas and move on.
Right.
How's that?
I'm going to say one thing that I'm doing this year.
What's that?
I am giving, and I'm hoping, I think they're at church right now, so they're not listening. my godson loves the Morton Arboretum, and their membership has lapsed.
There you go.
And they don't feel like they can afford to do it again this year because they're trying to cinch things in. He has a lot of health issues, and so that's expensive. So I'm going to renew their Morton membership.
That's
so that they can go to the Arboretum.
An experience gift. We
yes.
talked about that.
That lasts all year long.
Experience like a membership or tickets to a show or something. That is really great.
Yeah.
You know, I love I love my membership to the Museum of Science and Industry, and so extending that to
so
others.
The think museums, think Arboretum, think Botanic Garden, think,
and then it's,
you know,
a gift
like
for the
that.
Whole family.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great idea, Tom. This is wonderful. I want folks to go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. You'll see a lot of the stuff that Tom has written. You'll see a lovely picture of him as well. And go to the King County Green Holidays page for ideas. You're going to get a ton of ideas. And you know what? I'm going to put the scarce up on my bullet points there of places to go to recycle the, and don't forget to recycle your tree. That's always a good thing. Well, you know, but that's the easy one as far as I'm concerned. Tom, and I want to talk in the future. You and I should talk not just holidays, because you talked about China and recycling there. I want to get your opinion on the green fence. And you know what I'm talking about, where China has stopped taking a lot of our recycling and is turning it back because, well, who knows? It's kind of interesting. And what does that mean for America? And I bet you got some ideas on that. We don't have time right now, but we'll talk about that in the future.
I'd love to do that sometime in the new year. I really appreciate you having me on today, and you guys are doing such great work showing that having fun for the holidays is more important than buying all this crap.
I'm going to quote you on that, too. Tom Watson, King County Recycling and Environmental Services. We will talk again very soon.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. And Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays, Tom.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees about what you can expect when you give them a call. They will arrange to have a certified arborist meet with you to evaluate your trees. By the way, they're the only tree care company to make confirmation calls and measure their results. They come to your place and they do an assessment of your tree care needs. They'll provide you with recommendations and give you a price estimate on the spot. Your tree care work will be scheduled based on factors like the best time of the year to perform the service, your availability, and more. During the work, your needs will be continually reevaluated. You will be contacted after the work is done to make sure you were happy with the work. If you weren't satisfied, they will continue to care for your trees until you are. And it's hard to imagine better service than that. To talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees, call 800-508-9466 or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. Rick DeMaio weather in 30 seconds.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
And speaking of Santa Claus, let's go to, all right, let's see if I can get this to work. Is Ricky D there? Do we have him, Sarah? I think she forgot to call Ricky D.
No, she didn't. Danny was in there. I think there seems to be some problems.
Oh, are we having any phone issues? Okay. Well, we'll have Ricky D on in just a second, I hope. What's the story, Sarah?
Sorry, we lost him. I'll get him back on.
Oh, okay. We lost Ricky D. Wanted to remind people also... And let's tell them one more time about the thing that Tom sent us from.
Are you psychic? I'm posting that finally on Facebook right now.
Oh, are you?
I got a second to catch up there.
Oh, cool.
During the Santa Claus sound.
There's going to be a meeting of Tar Sands Free Midwest at the Southeast Environmental Task Force office today at 3 p.m., 13300 South Baltimore Avenue. They're going to do a tour of those tar sands for those people who want to see what's happening on, and you know, and you asked me before what was happening with that, and I don't know. I haven't heard anything. Okay, line two. And we also just got Dwayne sent me this nice note. He said, for the holidays, I get cabbage from the farmer's market and make sauerkraut. I also buy local flour from the co-op and make sourdough, caraway rye bread. Then my family members get a quart of sauerkraut and a big loaf of bread. It's always appreciated. That's Dwayne from Minneapolis. Are you listening in Minneapolis, Dwayne? That's great. Glad to hear that. Okay, let's go back to the phone. Let's see if you there, Ricky?
I'm here, Mike, and it was not Sarah's fault. It was my fault.
Yay!
she was hoping I would say that. What I was doing is I wake up and I have my little, coffee and my, I kind of precede that with a little bit of eggnog. And it's Sunday morning, so I decided to put a little snort of Southern Comfort in the Southern Comfort eggnog.
Good for you.
Push the wrong button. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Southern Comfort. Oh, where's the phone? Okay.
There's something about the word Southern Comfort that makes you want to be comfortable, right?
Absolutely.
And it really works. And on a morning like this, you need it. And Mike, I'm telling you something right now. I'm looking out my window, and I'm not kidding. It is about 10 to 15 feet of ice already built up along the shoreline here.
Wow.
I have never seen ice form this early along the lakefront dating back to December 2004. That was the year of that massive tsunami. Remember, we had an extremely cold December. And that tells you two things. Obviously, the atmosphere has been cold, but the lake has also cooled off about 10 degrees in the last week and a half. So pretty impressive stuff. And it's not so much that, the air is extremely cold where you're forming all this ice. What happened was the last couple of nights, average temperature pretty much in the Chicago area was anywhere between 5 and about 10 above. And what you get over the southern part of the lake is these patches of what we call pancake ice form, particularly when there's light wind. And now with that wind beginning to push onshore, those big pieces of pancake ice are now melding into what I perceive to be the most beautiful thing along the lakefront any time of the year, are these really unusual looking ice formations. And if anybody wants to go down and look at them today, look at them, but don't step on them. So
I know it's amazing you got to tell people that.
They are
but
beautiful.
They're going to be people tempted.
You know what they had to do up across parts of northern Wisconsin, Minnesota last week, or actually during the Thanksgiving Day weekend. Well, actually, yes, that was last weekend. Yeah, they had thin ice warnings out because a lot of people said, "Wow, look, there's ice. Let's go ice fishing." But the ice was only about 2 or 3 inches thick. Now that has changed in the last 5 days because, as we all know, the pattern has been incredibly cold for this time of the year, and it's only going to stay cold for the next couple of weeks. It's not going away anytime soon.
Oh my goodness! Well,
yeah,
I have to admit I've been outside a lot performing and that right. sort of thing, and it's
frozen robins. Is that what you guys are called?
Yes, we have been frozen. We're at the
freezing robins,
right? The Chris Kindle Market the other day, and it was fun. There were a lot of people there. I guess the saving grace in all of this is that we've got the cold, but we're not getting the miserable weather, the precipitation with it as well.
Yeah, it's been quite remarkable that we've had now two major ice storms move across the southern plains, and I think what was most remarkable was Tuesday in Dallas, it was 80 degrees, and then the next day they're under, you know, an ice storm warning with the possibility of 2 to 4 inches of ice, sleet, and snow. That's remarkable even for North Texas. But 28 states were under the threat of, you know, sleet, freezing rain, and then obviously snow, 10 inches came down across southern Illinois. 8 states were under ice storm warnings. Those extended all the way up into the East Coast eventually. But this is really, really cold stuff. And even when I was looking at some of these numbers the other day, you know, afternoon high temperatures of 12 below in Great Falls, Montana, and overnight lows of minus 26, you're talking about historic cold here. And extended all the way down into, you know, the southern Rockies and in parts of the southern United States. But Chicago has been somewhat in a little bit of an oasis. They had 19 to 28 inches of snow in northern Minnesota and Wisconsin Monday and Tuesday, but we had the real mild weather here. And then the storm system kind of splits and goes south, and they end up with a sleet and ice storm. And here we are just kind of looking out the window, and it's kind of gray and it's cold out. We'll get a little bit of snow tonight, not much, but right, Mike, the saving grace is we haven't had to really deal with the precip yet.
Well, I'll tell you what, since if it's okay with you, since we got a little bit of a late start here, I want to continue talking about this just for a little bit on the other side of the news.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then you can give us the forecast, because I also want you to talk to Melinda Myers, who's written a book, The Midwest Gardener's Handbook, and she's going to be here in the studio. But she, the book covers Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. So she covers them all, and I'm kind of interested in her take on this cold weather as it relates to gardeners, so you guys can have a little chat. So hang on, Rick, and we'll get to you and the forecast on the other side of the news. And as I said, we will have Melinda Myers here in the studio. Happy to do that. I hope you call with your questions. I think we're going to handle some holiday plant questions as well. 773-763-9278. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk.
Hello, everybody. We're Fleming John.
Hello.
And we want to sing for you this evening one of our all-time favorite holiday classics. Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter
of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green. Let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show. Look who is in the studio. If it isn't the lovely Melinda Myers, who is making us hi, by the way.
Hi. Good to be here.
who's just making us all look bad.
Oh, never, ever.
Not only does she write four books at a time, and what? You're going to give me another one? I've got so many of them here.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Your people...
Oh, okay, your book is everywhere in the studio.
It is. Oh my goodness.
All right.
They told me to bring three. See,
look at this. We got to take some photos here of everybody holding books. Do you got a camera there, Sarah? So
when she, I've got this fancy Twitter phone.
Oh, get your fancy Twitter phone out, and we'll all hold up the books, and so we can. Promoted for Melinda and all right, here we
okay.
go. All right, ready? You can't see this, of course. We're holding up the book. All right.
Okay, thanks. Well, I guess it's that will soon, what can I say?
That will soon be on Facebook and Twitter. But how do you write four books at a time?
Well, I'll tell you, it was. I'm still in recovery, I think.
And wine. She brings in a bottle of wine with her name on it. Okay?
That explains the four books, how you get through writing four books bit of beverage and food and along the way.
Is this your own wine?
I don't make my own, but I just put my logo on because I figure, you know, a good way to be remembered is beverages.
Alcoholic beverages.
That's fantastic.
I knew Mike was working on those cork trivets, so I thought I would help with his holiday gift giving. But he has to empty the bottle to get to the cork.
He could just have the cork and I'll empty the bottle.
Oh, okay. It's a team effort. I know when I brought it in, I went, well, Mike, it's up to you how you share.
Maybe we'll do this after the show while we're recording It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life for my holiday show. Rick DeMaio is still on the phone, I believe. You're there, Rick?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike, listening to more Laughs Per Hour than in the morning show in Chicago.
Hey, it's a Mike Novak show. We're here on a Sunday all the way through to a Tuesday. I want to introduce you to Melinda Myers, who's the author of the Midwest Gardener's Handbook. And, of course, she did radio in Milwaukee. She does television. She writes columns. She writes books. She makes wine. I'm kind of interested because I've got my meteorologist here, Rick DeMaio, on your take on this cold weather that's hit so suddenly.
Oh, you know what? I don't know about you, Mike, but I wasn't ready. I recently moved. Well, it's been a year, and there were some big projects I had in mind, and usually we can get through. You know, I'm usually saying, don't worry. You can get your winter mulch down after the ground freezes. Christmas trees are a great thing to use. And we were trying to put up some deer fencing, and the ground's pretty frozen solid.
I'll tell you what I did, and Rick, you'll appreciate this too. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, that was the day the weather was changing. And I knew...
Wednesday was when it changed.
Well, okay, it started to change Wednesday, but I also knew that I had a one grace day on Thursday because because the ground was still not frozen.
Right, right.
But it was on Friday.
Right.
Last day the ground was not frozen was Thursday.
Right.
I had a couple of spare hours in the afternoon. You know what I did?
You healed in some plants.
I planted bulbs and I put in actually a couple of shrubs and... You know, they don't. This is not the way you do it by the book, okay?
No.
But I got the bulbs in while I could still dig, I think the bulbs will be fine. I'm not worried about the bulbs; they'll be all right. The shrubs, you know, they might make it, and they might not, and it's, you know, if they do, great, and if they don't, oh well.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point. Is we know what ideal is, but as gardeners, we all push the limits. It's either a lack of time, the weather changes, and your meteorologist should be your best friend because I always look to them. Exactly. And not only because he's going to tell me what's going to happen, but also important weather issues that will impact us next year, the following year. You know, droughts. You know, we're seeing the ramifications of the drought from a couple years ago and even last year.
And we're still seeing this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so those are things that I love to make notes in a garden journal on your computer or someplace else so that when you're seeing strange things happen in the garden, it doesn't relate to the current weather, you can kind of look back. And so I think, you know, paying attention to the weather is really a very important for gardeners as well as
and Melinda
farmers.
And Mike and Lisa, you guys would have been in question happy land last night as far as weather and gardening, because I was at a function in Joliet, a place called Al's Steakhouse. There were about 75 of us who got together, all meteorologists, for a retirement party for Jim Alsop, who's the retiring warning coordinator meteorologist here at the Chicagoland office. And at one point, there was myself, Paul Servatka, who's an assistant professor of meteorology at the College of DuPage, who has one of the best, if not the best, two-year weather programs in the Midwest of the United States, and Tom Skilling. And Paul Merzok, and we're all sitting, Paul Daly, you know, former NWS meteorologist, and we're just basically sitting there throwing questions back and forth at each other, and we try our best not to talk about the weather we get together, but you can't help it. And it was interesting because Paul Servatka actually said that at this one point, he goes, I don't think there, and Paul's about 52, 53 years old, he goes, I don't think there is a single day that I can remember since I've been 8 years old that I did not like the weather. And it was one of these things where we all realize that we don't do this as a job. It's a hobby and it's fun. And even though sometimes we get really down about ourselves and we have tough questions, we were basically throwing back and forth why we've gotten in such a cold patch, and everybody's kind of coming up with their own thoughts and ideas on what the winter weather is going to be like. And obviously we're talking about the tornado outbreak and the fact that we could get a little, and it was just, we could have gone on to 6 a.m. But we all obviously had to leave eventually. But Melinda and Mike, I think you would have loved to have been there just to throw a couple of questions, and not so much to get the right answer, but to get a different frame of mind of how to use, I think, Melinda, you were kind of bending in that direction, how to use what you have in front of you to help you make your own decision. And I think that's what every gardener does at the same time.
Exactly. And I love to hear it's not just plant people that get together and bore any non-plant person, because we try not to talk gardening, but sometimes can't help ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely. Now, so let's put this in the larger context, because you actually did have meteorologists you were talking to yesterday. What is the larger context, not just of this cold, but how it relates to, say, that the tornado outbreak we had, how it relates to the hurricane season, which just ended, that produced no major hurricanes here in the Atlantic. How does that all come together?
First time, Mike, since 1994 that has happened.
Wow.
Yeah. So how is that all related, and how does it related to climate change?
You know, it was interesting because Paul Servatka and I, we both teach a climate change course, and he said to me, he goes, how do you teach it? I go, you know what, Paul, it's really tough to teach a class that has the word change in it without becoming an advocate. So I've kind of backed off a little bit and tried to call it more climate variability. And we were talking about how the Atlantic, even though it was a very warm season for ocean temperatures, just didn't have the right ingredients to actually develop any large hurricanes. We talk about a major hurricane. We talk about Category 3 or greater. First time that has not happened since 1994. We didn't have any hurricanes hit the United States. But yet the West Pacific went gangbusters in the month of October, producing 5 super typhoons. Obviously, Haiyan devastated parts of the Philippines, and we were all kind of saying to ourselves, boy, we're still not completely sure about how to put all of these things together and how to figure them out. And I think it was kind of neat that we all agreed that we're still humbled by this, and at the same time, trying to put together why we've gotten into such a cold pattern. I think we can both, we were kind of talking about how the end of the typhoon season had a direct impact on how the atmosphere set up over the Pacific Ocean. We had, you know, several large storms come into the Rocky Mountains, and we had a highly variable pattern here. And then in the last week, there was a superstorm that went through northern Europe, and it was, again, a highly variable pattern. And we've kind of just pinched everything off from a standpoint of cold weather, basically right over North America. And once that, it's almost like, you don't know why one particular rose bush is doing better than another. and when the cold air finds a spot where it wants to be, it goes, you know what? I like this, and I'm going to stay here for a while. And then once you develop a couple of snowstorms, the cold air goes further south, and it's true. You know, why does one rose bush do better? Why does one tree? And I also think those are the wonders of nature that we haven't figured out yet. And you kind of back off. You say, okay, forget about the long term. Let's just look at the short and medium term. And I think that's where we are right now, that it looks like we're going to be in a cold kind of at least for the next 30 days.
Yikes.
We all know what happened last year, December, January, mild, and we got into the February period, and all of a sudden we had winter for 2 months.
Yeah.
So it's humbling, but at the same time, it always makes you ask questions further. Which is good, because that shows that you're still not completely satisfied that you know everything about everything.
Well, then on that note, why don't you give us a forecast?
Sure. So obviously a cloudy, cool day today. We'll get some snow. There was a thought of a little bit of lake effect snow with this system, but I think the lake is just too cold for that right now. So maybe 1 to 2 inches of snow by later on this afternoon and tonight. And I got to warn people, when you get an inch of snow on top of ground temperatures that have been extremely cold over the last couple of days, this stuff sticks like crazy. So expect very slippery conditions later on today into tonight. It's that talcum powder type snow that we get worried about. It clears out tomorrow morning, so a couple of inches of snow, less to the south, more to the north. But easily, temperatures stay in the mid-20s today. Low to mid-20s tomorrow, probably upper teens on Tuesday, and then lower 20s Wednesday. If we get one day above freezing, that may be Friday, but we get right back into cooler weather for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of next week. The one big thing, Mike, though, is we stay relatively dry here. And I tell students, if you want to think about what an Arctic environment is like, look out the window. This is one of the reasons why things don't grow north of 60 degrees latitude this time of the year. So we'll stay relatively snow and rain free around here for the next few days and next few weeks, which to some degree is not that good because the ground is frozen and we don't have anything to keep it warm. That permafrost can go down easily to 4, 5, or 6 inches. So
and we're going to talk about it in a second. It's brutal on plants.
Yeah, hopefully, right. Hopefully your bulbs are planted shallow enough. But have a good rest of the show, Mike. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, Rick. Rick DeMaio, weather always on the Mike Novak Show. Not always after 10 a.m., but it was great that he stuck around for that because I. Well, maybe it isn't good news to, because and that's tough because one of the things that you mentioned in your new book, Midwest Gardener's Handbook, is that snow can be an insulator. That's in our cold climes. That's a good thing. So
it
when
is.
We don't have this, when you get this dry, cold, bitterly cold weather. It's tough on the plants.
It certainly is. I mean, we all dread the shoveling and all that, but it is a blessing because you don't have to put it down. And
yeah.
Nature puts it down for you and insulates well. This is where, as you put up your Christmas tree, if you use a cut Christmas tree, those lower branches, throw them on your newly planted bulbs. Now the ground froze right after you planted them. At least the squirrels can't.
So don't
get
even
to
put
them.
Take the Christmas tree straight home from the store and cut it up and put it in your yard.
Just the lower branches after the holidays.
They have scraps on site when they're trimming. Maybe you could ask to take them home.
You bet. And do it in a nice way because this is how they make their living. I had somebody go up to a Christmas tree growing up. You're not going to sell these. I'll take them off your hands. The guy said, I'll chip them first. But,
sure,
you know, the
sure.
good growers, if you...
But to say, you know, gosh, you know, I'm worried
really,
about my bulbs. Do you think I could just...
Exactly. I bought this tree. Could I take some...
Have a few of these branches.
Yeah, and that's a great idea. And when your neighbors, get them to join in with you because you're right. Recycling Christmas trees is very easy to do and very beneficial to the landscape.
That is Melinda Myers. She's the author of the Midwest Gardener's Handbook. Now, what are the other books that you just wrote? And they're going to come out in January, right?
Well,
has this one been released yet?
This one you can order in advance, and it's coming out the middle, like within the week. So it'll be available within the week. The first two are redos of my former books. It's the Minnesota, Wisconsin Getting Started Gardener's Guide. So it's kind of a basic, though it's for advanced as well as beginner gardeners, mm-hmm. profiles of plants, what to do. Then Minnesota, Wisconsin Month by Month Gardening. And obviously I recognize there's a difference from Milwaukee to, you know, the northern limits of Minnesota.
Yeah,
Tells you kind of what to do when,
and we revised it. If you look at the hardiness zone maps that you've got in there, I was particularly struck by... Wisconsin and Minnesota, because if you go all the way to Lake Michigan, you've got like a zone 5, and you know, yeah, and then you go all the way up to like zone 3. or 2 or whatever.
2B, I think there's a little 2B up there.
Yeah, 2B in Minnesota, that's a wide range.
It is. And one of the things is, what I love is, once you understand gardening and you do it yourself or you work professionally, then you take the climate information, the soil information, and then listening to gardeners. I'm lucky I get to travel a lot and work around the country, and gardeners share not only plants and produce, but information. And so a lot of what my writing is about is, you know, not only what I've done professionally and personally, but what gardeners have shared along the way. Because, you know, that's what your show is about, too. Where can we do this? How can we do this? What kind of luck did you have? And, you know, as Rick mentioned, why did this rose live and this one didn't? That's the great gardening question, isn't it?
And as I tell folks, you know, when I do gardening talks, I say, if something dies, don't sweat it. That happens. If you're going to grow plants, you're going to kill plants.
And it's an opportunity to try something new.
To try something new and try to figure it out. Is that John on line one there?
Yeah, he's got a question about beets.
Why not? Let's take a question. 773-763-9278. Our expert is here in the studio. I think also if you, before the end of the hour, I think we should talk a little holiday plants.
Oh, that'd be great.
And I want to get into what's going on in your book, of course, too. But let's start with John in Zion. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got a question. I started beets from seeds, okay? You have to let them germinate, then you can transplant them later on. And usually around May, I get to stick the beets in the ground, but some of the seeds germinate a little bit further in time, like 2 or 3 weeks. Then I transplant those probably in June and July, and my first batch ends up looking like growing to about the size of a football. And the second batch, they only get to about 2 inches in or 1 or 2 inches in diameter, and the same with the lengths. You guys got any clues?
Beets are cool weather plants. You can harvest them throughout the summer, but I'm guessing, you know, I love to do cool season crops in the spring if I can get out early enough, but usually I'm traveling, so I do a lot of my planting late summer, and beets are short season crops. So when you harvest them in fall, you know, the temperatures are cool, and Mike and I are kind of nodding agreement, which you can't see. So I think the cooler temperatures, you know, when you're ripening during the heat, that's one of the issues in terms of not getting quite the same productivity.
No, I see.
So nothing you did wrong, we'll blame the weather. Sorry, Rick.
Well, I've got one garden here in northern Illinois. Then I have another garden up in northern Wisconsin.
Okay.
And it was pretty cool up there this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
We had a heck of a lot of rain.
Is your, and I'm guessing in northern Wisconsin, are you in sandier soils up there?
Yeah. You know, it's from the glacier silt. So
right.
I brought up dirt from home.
Okay.
Grass clippings and then leaves, maple leaves. Stay away from the oak because they're too acidic. And I even put in 10-10-10 fertilizer.
One of the things you may want to try is a soil test is always a good place to start. And our soils tend to be high to excessive in phosphorus and potassium, but the phosphorus is not always readily available. You're doing great things by adding organic matter because that whole process helps release. A lot of you probably know I'm a fan of Milorganite fertilizer, and research has shown when the microorganisms work on that, it releases some of the phosphorus bound in the soil.
Yeah.
Phosphorus is good for flowering, fruiting, and root development as well.
It's kind of even funny with grass seed. I couldn't tell you how many bags of grass seed I bought to put down up there. None of the grass seed grows, but the weeds do.
Somebody asked me what the secret is, and I said, well, that's why they're weeds, because they grow. And when you have another property, you bring up a great point. It's hard to get things started because you're not there to water. And even if we have a lot of rain, it usually doesn't happen in the way we need it, you know, when we need it and regularly. So it sounds like you're doing everything right. It's just a matter of keeping after it and maybe trying a summer, you know, if you're going to vacation up there, maybe for a week, that'd be a great time, especially in late summer, fall, to try to get the grass seed started. Fall temperatures cool.
Yeah, because one of the key things, John, is getting that grass to germinate. It's got to stay moist the whole time. And if you duck out of there for a couple of days, you lose that effort that you've put into it already.
Right.
And there's a great new, one of the things, I just recently moved, and I moved to, as we affectionately call, Waukesha County in Wisconsin, because I left soil I've worked for 27 7 years, great soil. Now I'm in rocks and gravel, glacial till, and I'm going to try Nomo. I'm getting rid of, obviously, I'm going to do some prairie, and I'm going to do educational garden. So the goal is not to do much, if any, mowing, but I have grandkids, and I want them to be able to run and play. And so my goal is hopefully next fall to install a Nomo lawn. Prairie Nursery is one of many, but he's got good information on his website.
Give us that nursery.
Prairie Nursery in Westfield, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Neil DeBull, fun guy, very educationally focused. But he's got good information in there. It's a mix of fescues.
I think I used to drive by that place on the way
I
up.
I bet you did. On 51, right. And he's used it very effectively, good for the type of soil you and I have, too.
Let me explain something. There's the whole generation of lawn products now, Lomo and Nomo. So, you know, they're used interchangeably, and they tend to be fescue blends. There's a number of them out there. Some of them are very, very good. You might want to experiment with the one you like. But the one I was a sponsor on the show for a while was EcoLawn.
Yes.
And they've got seven different fescues in there. But there are other, pretty much every company starting to experiment with the Lomo or Nomo.
And one of the ideas is you can not mow it and have a meadow. Or you can mow it once a month and have a sort of a lawn experience, you know, so you keep it shorter. So a lot of it's how you want to manage it.
And once you get it to germinate and once you get it to take, it rarely needs watering.
Exactly.
And that's the beauty of that. And it rarely needs mowing. I mean, as Melinda said, you can just let it grow and it doesn't have the same look as a bluegrass lawn, but it's still a lawn.
The only problem I have with that is I had to go back and forth with my bulldozer and I tear up the ground like crazy.
You know, that's why I haven't put mine in yet, because we are moving some things on the property and it's killing me to wait until I'm done so that I'm not tearing up something I spend all that effort with. So you're right. You know, maybe once you feel like you've got most of that work done, or have some pathways that are maybe mulch, so that when you're driving equipment, if you have definite pathways, just give it up growing the grass.
What I am also trying to do also, it's an experiment, is when I'm sawing up firewood up there, I'm going to be saving the wood chips from maple and stuff like that, not the pine, and spread that up on top of the soil. So maybe that would help contain keep part of the moisture on the ground.
Well, definitely. Mulching is great. Wood mulches, you can use pine bark. They break down slowly. So around trees and shrubs and pathways, excellent. Annual vegetable and flower gardens, they can temporarily tie up the nitrogen, so you'll need to do a little additional fertilization. Mm-hmm. And established perennial beds, excellent. Mulching, shredded leaves, even oak leaves are okay. They're not too acidic. They're just slow to break down, so
shred them. And then you don't have that problem.
Yeah, so
that's
great.
What I try to do here at home with a lawn tractor before is mulch them and then bag them, and then it takes up less space to begin with.
Yeah. John,
exactly.
Great stuff. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful Sunday.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good holiday.
You too. Bye. 773-763-9278. Melinda Myers, author of Midwest Gardener's Handbook, is here in the studio. We're going to handle all kinds of questions, whatever we can get to before 11 a.m. Let me do this, and then I want to talk about the book and how and why.
Okay.
The how and why.
What was I thinking?
What were you thinking? Yeah. You understand how that works. Okay. It's Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Now, Wally isn't a real doctor, but he just might be Santa. I don't have proof, but... Well, actually, this might be proof. Wally says, and we were just talking about this, that the branches from discarded Christmas trees make one of the best mulches for perennial beds. See? Everybody is giving us that advice today. Now, you cover the bed with the branches, and it'll insulate and protect the bed from winter's fickle temperatures. And the idea, some folks think you're trying to keep the ground warmer. No, you're just trying to keep the temperature constant. Right. That's the, and if it warms up and it cools down, then your plants, it throws your plants across the
those
yard.
Bulbs will be out of the ground.
They will pop right out. Right. Now, this spring, lift off the branches and shake the needles around for a great soil amendment. No, they won't make the soil too acidic. Save the trunk of the tree for a bird feeding station. Stick pine cones covered with peanut butter or suet onto the points off the branches that were pruned for mulch. In the spring, Wally chops up the tree and burns it for firewood while camping. Not indoors. While camping. I just want to make
sure. Good
point. Don't do it in your fireplace. Learn more in person from Dr. Wally at Bertolt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front. Oh, I have to mention, it's on my homepage. You go to MikeNovak.net. This past week, when we had that warm day, the worms were coming out of the ground. So Wally goes out there and he takes a picture of the worms. And he sends it to Tom Skilling. And I'm sitting at home watching the weather. And I don't get to see Tom during the day very much. So I happen to have Channel 9 on, and I'm watching Tom Skilling doing the weather. And lo and behold, he says, look at this picture. Wally Schmidtke just sent me these photos of worms coming out of the ground. I went, oh, my gosh, that's Wally, Dr. Wally. And he sent it, and Tom Skilling put it on the weather forecast this week. So that was pretty cool. Go to BertoltzGardenCenter.com, BERTHOLDS, GardenCenter.com, Bertoltz. Get green, let's get growing.
ComEd Smart Ideas presents The Power of Small Changes.
I'm a light bulb left on in an empty room. My energy is being wasted.
Fear not. I can help. There you go.
I'm saved.
Be a hero.
Hooray!
Save energy. Visit ComEd.com/home savings to find discounts and money-saving tips, like switching to compact fluorescents.
Visit ComEd.com/home savings.
Hooray! ComEd, powering lives. This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
The Mike Novak Show is sponsored in part by ComEd Smart Ideas. Discover instant discounts and money-saving tips at ComEd.com/home savings.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Who tweeted that? I'm looking. It says, today's weather segment sponsored by Southern Comfort.
It was me.
Was that you? Thank you, Sarah. And, of course, it's being retweeted all over the globe right now. Thank you very much. Boy, I hope they give us some cash. The Southern Comfort folks, do it.
Or at least some samples.
Sure. Well, we've got the bottle of wine here for the wonderful slice later on. All right. You know what? I would say something, and I will in a second, but this is where I turn it over to Lisa, because she grabs – I bring these books in here, and she looks at them, and she
– I'm the novice.
Okay.
I know nothing. So I posted this on Facebook. The thing I like about this book, it's so – so it has colorful tabs at the top so you can flip to easy sections, but then it has things split up by categories, so vegetables, shrubs, and then it has these amazing pictures along with Why is this plant so special? How does this plant grow? What are the care problems that you might experience with it? It has these really simple, quick, easy things. In the beginning, it actually shows like building a compost box. In the back, it shows how to build a raised garden. Like, there's the pictures are so helpful. Am I talking too fast?
No, this is great. This is good.
I'm done. I'm out of here because thank you, Lisa.
I turn it over to Lisa because she notices everything.
I just thought of like five people who I want to give this book to. It's such a great book. My sister, like in the back, there's this whole section on pruning, and it shows these really ugly, gnarly trees and where you should even start if you have something like that. Of course, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, call the Care of Trees, a Davies Corporation.
Right.
But no, because, you know, I know my sister's buying a new place, and it's a house that hasn't been lived in a while. And so the shrubs and the trees are in terrible condition. But she has a huge lot. And so we've talked about raised gardens. And so this is it's great because neither one of us know what we're doing, but we have enthusiasm. So this is a really good book. I mean, it actually shows like transplanting shrubs, and there's pictures.
Well, and you bring it up, and Mike said, you know, it's okay if you've killed a tree, because we all have, or not a tree, sorry, but killed a plant, sorry, Care of Trees. They'll help you prevent that. But you're right, you know, it's part of the learning process. And, you know, Rick was great when he said, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, nature, that's part of the mystery. But one of the things, I'm a very practical gardener and professional, because I'm busy like everyone else, you know, who has time to do absolutely everything you need to. So the easier you make it and the more successful you are, the more likely you're going to continue it. And hopefully that'll give your sister confidence too. And enthusiasm goes a long way, don't you think, with gardening?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I always say I have the best job in the world. I get to talk to gardeners because gardeners are optimistic. You would never garden 2 years in a row. And I guess weather people are too after listening to Rick.
Well, think about how optimistic you have to be to plant a tree.
Yes.
Something that you're not likely to see in its full maturity.
Exactly.
You know?
But somebody did it for you. You know, the ones we're sitting under. I had a gentleman one time, I taught a class and I was talking oaks, and he's like, I'm old, I'll never get to benefit. I said, but your grandkids will. Mm-hmm. Someone planted an oak tree so you could enjoy it. I want to plant them for my great-grandkids to enjoy, or your great-grandkids.
Well, so, and I'm such a sap, I actually look at that. Yesterday I was walking past the Seltzer Library, and I thought, who was the person who put this brick down? What, you know, do they know how much I appreciate this building and all the people who come and use this building? And that building was built a long time ago. And I think about, you know, who planted that tree?
You know, that is
who
a very,
dug that hole?
That is a great, I loved your giving gifts for the future, and those are exactly the kind of things, an arboretum, a botanic garden, a library, a museum that, you know, our children, great-grandchildren are going to enjoy, or some people we don't even know, which is even, like you said, those people who built that you're enjoying that you'll never meet, you know, that you never, well, they're gone, but you would have, you know, have no connection to directly.
I have to play something simply because I was looking at the Twitter feed, and I realized I had this here, and I hadn't played it, and somebody actually mentioned it on Twitter, and I have to say that the Midwest Gardener's Handbook really goes well with
real butter.
Okay, because I hadn't played that this week.
Well, I am in Wisconsin.
You know, based in Wisconsin.
And
Melinda Myers goes better with
real butter.
All right.
I think
you weren't here.
Norman was using that clip last week a lot. Real butter.
What? No.
I think.
No.
I listen to
Norman
so
wouldn't
much.
Use that. That's mine.
Who was using that?
Me.
No, someone.
Me.
It was you last Saturday.
It was last Sunday.
Sorry, I'm all. You know, I'm in the car so much I get lost.
If Norman Goldman steals my audio clips.
Well, and what's cool? I'm going to go back to the book.
Thanks.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Cutting off the hose. So one of the things I'll just
turn my microphone off and drink some wine here.
I was going to say you could start your wonderful slice.
Who's got the corkscrew?
But so in the beginning, you know, in a particular section, I'll talk about shrubs, and it talks about specific plants. And then in the back, it actually has, you know, that section, it talks about planting it or something specific to it. But then it has monthly things that need to happen around that as well. So it gives you some idea throughout the calendar year what your lawn might need, what your shrubs might need, what your roses might need.
Yeah, I like your calendar. You've got calendars for every section, which is really very helpful.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
I don't have to look through the calendar and then find this, you know, I'm in that section.
Who did the photography, by the way?
Some of the photos, the plant profiles are ours. Some were provided
ours,
by the pub.
Ours.
I'm sorry.
Ours?
Dawn Stark, who works with me, and I do a lot of photography, and mm-hmm. I use it in my talks and in the books. And mm-hmm. so we pulled a lot from our library for the plants, some of the how-to, but a lot of the other how-tos were provided by the publisher, so various photographers.
Yeah, and it's Cool Springs
Press. Yes.
Press. And
part of Quayside now, yes.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is spelled Quayside. So mm-hmm. not my picture. Isn't that beautiful? The rose.
Yeah. Which one?
What is this?
The rose. It looks like maybe a William Baffin, I'm against a fence rose. I'm a big Hardy Rose fan because I spent most of my early career telling everyone why their rose was sick and dying. And Bill Radler, who's a friend who introduced Knockout Rose, said, I'm breeding roses for people like you. And I said, that's good because I'm not putting roses that require a lot of care. That's a personal choice I make. I'm not gonna protect them for winter. I'm not gonna spray stuff. And if they can't make it on their own, they're not part of my garden.
Let's ask a rose question right now. I'll ask a rose question because I know some people do this. What do you think of cones?
Oh my goodness! I can tell we share that. You know, people put them on too early, leave them on too late. They cook the plants. They blow into the neighbor's yard. They heat up when it's a sunny day, but cold out. I find them a lot of work. If I was going to do any protection, I'd do the soil mound method, but I don't grow any of those kind of roses.
Yeah, and you're with me. I do the same thing. I got a rose out in the parkway. I'm going, hey, if you survive the salt, good for you, okay? And if you don't, I'll put something else in there next year.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, I think they call those rose cones rose tombstones.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, I like that.
We just need to put a little, you know, symbol on there and make it really look official. Name the rose as it's dead. I was going to say, in Minnesota, they're really tough. They do the Minnesota tip method, and they dig trenches. And I happen to be up at the Arboretum, the University of Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, when they were doing the rose protection end of October, about a foot away from the base of the rose, they dig a trench, cut the roots. On the other side, they have a little trench. They tip the rose, put it in the ground, cover it with soil. Once it freezes, they mulch. These are the non-hardy type of roses. And
for
that just
sakes.
I know.
That's a lot of work.
And I met a couple that did this, and I said, what would your neighbors thinking the first year you did this? Were they looking for your spouse? Have you seen her around? Because he's digging a lot of holes in the front yard. You know, like, is she gone and buried in pieces? And, you know, rosarians are tough, hardcore folks. But for those of us that like the beauty without the work, there's a lot of good choices now.
Yeah, that's the big change in roses in the last 15 years,
yes.
Basically, is that, you know, it's interesting because I for a long time, horticulture didn't change a lot. And it seems like it really has picked up speed in the last couple of decades. I mean, just even concepts, the idea of the biology in the soil, we didn't really used to talk about that very much. It was all about NPK. You know, you talked about phosphorus earlier, and it's interesting because I had a soil test in my yard, and the phosphorus was through the roof. And you're saying that a lot of this probably not even available, phosphorus. My pH was somewhere between 7.3 and 7.8.
Which is, unfortunately, not surprising in this area.
Yeah.
You know, high pH, high to excessive levels of phosphorus and potassium, and we're putting down more and doing no good.
Yeah, and that's a thing, and that seems to run counter to the idea now that we're not supposed to put so much phosphorus in the soil because it's creating problems in our lakes and rivers, but the traditional wisdom, the conventional wisdom was always, well, you want to get that plant to bloom, you better put some phosphorus down. So how do you reconcile those two?
Exactly. And the soil, exactly what you're saying. If you put down the food for the microorganisms, they're going to release some of that phosphorus. And,
right.
and having good soil fertility, you know, I don't fertilize a lot. I had really good soil.
You got to come on this show more often. One of my rules of thumb is, or things I say, is that fertilization is overrated. You know, in some places it is, like with personally, I think with trees and shrubs.
Oh, yes.
You know, if you're mulching and you're putting down an organic mulch of some kind, usually wood chips or bark, that's going to supply all the nutrients it needs.
You're absolutely right. And we tend to do more and we think more is better. And, you know, I call it benign neglect, which I think is your philosophy, too. It's about giving the plants what they need. And we are in a hostile environment for plants in urban settings. The soil's been disturbed. So invest your effort into preparing the soil. And I talk a lot about soil prep and some people roll their eyes. But you know what? That's the foundation you build. You invest your time now in the soil, and it pays off for decades.
And you mentioned this in the book. It's funny, as you go through the book, there seems to be in each chapter a little thing on the soil. So here's the prep for this kind of plant. Here's the prep for this kind of plant. And by the way, it's called the Midwest Gardener's Handbook. You can go to my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show, and I've got the links to it there. Or you can go to Melinda's website, which is melindamyers.com, and it's MYERS.
Thank you.
Yeah, nobody knows how to spell it. Right. Yeah, you know, I can just imagine how they spell your name because nobody ever gets Novak right either.
I was going to say, I bet you never get the name right on the first time with people looking for you sometimes.
And my problem is I pronounce it like a V, and that dooms me right there. So this would make a great holiday gift. So Lisa's already got half a dozen on order, I'm sure. Have you been ordering those, Lisa?
You can actually order it at Amazon.com, which is the link that I posted on Facebook.
Thank you.
Just to speed your shopping adventure up.
You could probably, can you also get it at Cool Springs Press? Do they?
I'm not sure they've got them. I know through Amazon, you can check with Cool Springs to see if they've got them up and online and ready to go. I know they've been working with Amazon directly. There's a link through my website too as well. So yes. And thank you. It's, you know, I'm passionate about gardening and the environment just like Mike is. And it's been fun to see. I wanted to just mention 30 some years ago when I started my career, there was a bit of a green movement, growing vegetables in the front yard, and that kind of passed. And so it's been fun to watch the grow your own food move come back for different reasons, some for economics, some for food safety.
And not food, but the sustainability even in landscaping is so much better. I mean, there's still a lot of the same old out there, but it's so much better.
And I think there's a lot, and you're right, there's more knowledge out there, there's more people talking about it, and there's more products available to do eco-friendly methods, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're not kind of the fringe anymore. It's kind
right.
of...
Right, I mean, you know, that's an interesting point, because you look at the people who are advertisers on my show, and Milorganite's one of them. Now, they've been doing it forever, since the 20s.
Yes.
But their product has improved in the last 15 years. They really upgraded it. And then you've got people like Dr. Earth, and I've got Bonide, and I have their Garden Naturals.
Right.
That's all that they advertise on my show are the Garden Naturals, and I love that. And so those kinds of things. And you can even find some of those products in box stores, which is amazing.
Yes. And so there's a lot more opportunity now. So I'm very excited for this trend because I think it's not going to... I really feel strongly that I think we're making a shift. And I think, like you said, the profession is also making that choice and that shift. And in Wisconsin, they're doing some look at invasive species. And it's the nursery industry, the landscape professionals, the environmentalists coming together, because that's the way we're going to make a difference, is if we all say it's in all of our best interest to make those changes.
I was at an all-day conference for the Northeast Northeast Invasive Plant Species, whatever. I knew I was going to get it wrong. But they got to talking. There were people from all parts of the industry in there, environmentalists, but there were also growers,
right,
retailer guys. And the conversation turns to things like calorie pear. Is calorie pear invasive? And some folks go, well, it can't be invasive because we've got so much of it in stock. You can't make that invasive. Well, you know, studies are showing that it is kind of invasive. And so you're going to have to start to phase that stuff out.
Right.
But they understand that, and they know that they got to work together.
And I think that's the exciting change that I'm seeing, is that we're working together, because once we're on opposite ends pointing fingers, nothing happens. And so this way, I think if there's understanding that the nursery industry plants 5 years ahead, trying to guess what are people going to buy, you know, it's like emerald ash borer.
And oh, my goodness, what are we going to do with that? And yeah. I just went to the year anniversary of the Sustainable Chicago 2015 initiative, and some of the commissioners were there who were supporting sustainable activities in Chicago. And they and he talked about Commissioner Williams from Streets and Sand was talking about Emerald Ash Borer and how they're going to treat trees, because he said it costs us $46 to treat a tree each year. It costs $1,000 to take it down.
Right. And
that's
value.
That's a savings. And so, but the problem is you have to just treat them every year.
Right.
And you're not going to save all of them. But when you think of the thousands of ash trees that we have in municipalities all over the Midwest, yeah, some cities are going to need to pony up for that.
And I think you point out a good thing. Anytime we're looking at treating, even using organic products, you know, or where we're going to invest our energy in our own landscape, is it a key plant? You know, sometimes we have plants struggling and we keep trying to save it when we're probably better off to cut it down, start over, and really put the right plant in the location. You know, a lot of landscapes are designed, you know, they build the house, they put the standard, you know, my parents bought a house in the 50s and they had a silver maple, a Siberian elm, and two American arborvitaes that weren't too big. 25 years later, they had a new landscape because the silver maple split apart, the Siberian elm kept breaking and littering the neighborhood, and the American arborvitae were beautiful, but they outgrew the house. So 25 years later, they're starting over, you know, and how sad is that, that they could have had some beautiful big trees?
Because they got bad knowledge. That's, I mean, the bad information from, and the people in the industry weren't looking out for the consumer, really. And the consumer then took these examples. Oh, I'll buy this arborvitae. I'll plant it right next to the porch. And then suddenly you can't get in the front door.
Exactly. And the homeowners, on the other hand, want instant results.
Well, and that's a problem, too. But then that's where we in the industry have to say, that's not a good idea. I'm sorry. I know you want instant results. I'm going to instead suggest a tree that's going to take a little longer to grow, or a landscape that's going to take a little longer to mature, and it's going to be a much better one for you.
You know, and in the book, and just to drag us all back there, but I really went through
why
my...
Why would you do that?
But one of the things...
Oh, wait,
things,
I got to... Okay.
But one of the things I did in the revisions on my books, and in my first editions, I had some bad plants to try to tell people not to grow them. Well, You know they're bad now, so I didn't waste space. You know, it was like... Bishop's weed, don't plant this. You're going to find it, not anymore. Yeah. But it was about, don't plant this. Well, you know what? I think we were getting the word out. So I took all of those out and I put in some new things that are a little harder to find, but we need to ask for them. You know, yellowwood needs a little bit of pruning because of the way the branch structure, but what a beautiful tree. You know, the black gum in wet areas. And
when do you see that? Yeah, where do you see those? Yeah.
You've got to look hard at some of the nurseries.
Here's one, Pachysandra. Most people don't know there's a native Pachysandra.
Exactly. And I think it blends better because Pachysandra, unless you have a formal landscape, is really hard to mix in with other plants. But the native is a little looser and, you know, it's got...
And you know what the now, people knock at me, go, well, the leaves aren't glossy. Well, so what? I want glossy leaves. What?
Oh, sorry. Isn't it really easy, Pachysandra?
Yeah. Well, if it's in the right place, in the Japanese Pachysandra, the glossy leaves, as long as it's partly shaded. But the native is a little bit tattered in the northern parts of the Midwest. You guys are a little bit milder than Milwaukee here, but it's a wonderful, easy plant.
All right. We got a phone call coming in. I need to do this real quick. That is Melinda Myers. You should pick up her book, Midwest Gardener's Handbook. You can go to my website, MikeNovak.net, go to this week's show, and you'll have all the links you need. It is on Amazon. As Lisa pointed out, we'll be back. We got a question on the phone, and we will do that right after this. I should let you know, we've hit the speed bump, formerly known as Thanksgiving. Hanukkah is in the rearview mirror, and now we're careening nonstop towards Christmas. It's not a pretty picture for those of you who are at a loss for what gifts to give your gardening friends. Well, one of them is the Midwest Gardener's Handbook. Do that. But another is ChicagolandGardening.com. You can order a subscription to the gardening magazine for our region. Your friends and loved ones will thank you for having access to what is the best regional magazine in the country and has been for almost 20 years. They'll get great stories about fantastic gardens, about how to grow almost anything under the Midwest sun, and about how to deal with insects, diseases, dogs, kids, and garden problems they probably never even knew existed. They'll also be subjected to my column on the inside back page. Hey, for every silver lining, there's a cloud. Get your friends a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine this Christmas. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Hello, I'm Ed Prentice. You know, even more than your guests, your family deserves real butter. Right now we're having some family fun, butter baking a turkey.
Mommy, why do we put butter all over the turkey?
To keep him from drying out.
Then put butter on the drumstick, too.
Mm-hmm. Lots of butter makes him golden brown.
Gosh, I'll bet he's going to be good.
Ah, wait till he's done, dear. Now we dip this cheesecloth in melted butter and wrap him up.
To keep him warm?
No, so it'll be juicy and tender.
Oh.
Now he's ready to bake ever so slowly. Only 300 to 325 degrees.
Will he be ready soon?
No, Daddy. Bake him slowly so he'll stay plump, juicy, and tender. Oh.
Now every half hour we'll take a peek and baste him with butter, of course.
He looks so big.
And he'll stay big because butter keeps him from drying out and losing juices.
That's right. This special American Dairy Association method keeps your turkey from shrinking in the oven. A turkey can lose as much as one-third of its weight if it isn't properly roasted.
This sure is a big drumstick, Daddy.
You know, Mary, this is one of the juiciest turkeys we've ever had.
It's terrific. Of course, it's butter-baked.
Why don't you get your family together and have fun butter-baking a turkey? Remember, even more than your guests, your family deserves real butter.
I'm not sure what that commercial was about.
Apparently, he was very distracted because he was delayed every single
time. Oh, you know,
what's
amazing about that it's like from the 50s, and that's the thing, those commercials, they took their time. All right,
so
I got to do this
shopping.
Real quick. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Do you know about the Davy Institute? Since its founding in 1880, Davy Tree, the parent company of the Care of Trees, has helped define the science of tree surgery. Company founder John Davy believed tree care is a science. It is. And the original business plan included a technical development and research department to bring the leading science of the day to clients' property via their field service teams. Today, the scientists and technical advisors at the Davy Institute guide field service teams in diagnosing and prescribing the best products, application procedure, and pest and disease cultural practices to be used at the client's site. In addition to pathology and materials expertise, Davy teams develop new technologies to help governments and large commercial properties inventory. To talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees, call 800-508-9466 or see thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davy company. Their business is people and their love for trees. We've got just a couple of minutes. Let's go to the phone real quick, and that's Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Good. Just make sure that you use real Wisconsin butter on your...
Wait. Do we want to use...
Real butter.
Okay.
Real Wisconsin butter, yes. Anyway, back about 30 years ago, you were talking about 30 years ago, there was a program on PBS called the... the all-new Victory Garden. Do you recall those?
Yes.
Books? Yes. I have Jim Crockett's original Victory Garden book, too, back in the, and Bob Thompson's version as well.
Yes. So I just wondered if that movement is still being promoted.
Well, there is a Victory Garden. It's a lot more outdoor. It's a little different flavor. Victory Gardens are popping up across the country. There's a lot of community involvement. Community gardens are big again. Again, that was a trend I saw in the early in my career. I'm seeing a lot of victory gardens, not necessarily tied to our troops directly, but to communities, getting kids to eat better, helping communities grow fresh, nutritious food. And all of us that garden, I think the other thing that gardening does, it's good for the mind, body, and spirit. And I think one of the things that happens is when you dig in the soil and you grow your own food, you learn a lot of lessons. Kids have a better focus.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, the other thing I wanted to know is, are either of you familiar with Odessa Piper?
No. No. I'm not.
No, she was in Madison. She was a chef, she worked at the Ovens of Brittany and then founded La Toile and was very big in using local vendors that were in very, very big also in using the, natural gardening, natural products.
The organics.
Thank you.
Yeah. All excellent. Right. Thank you. I'll have to check that out. And a lot of the chefs have worked with schools to grow their own food and teach them how to cook it, too.
All right. So. Chris, thanks so much for the call. You have a great Sunday. We'll talk to you soon.
Great. Look forward to a wonderful slice.
All right. On the 22nd, we'll be doing it today. Thanks. We got to wrap it up here. It's a shame. We could go another hour.
It's always fun, Mike. Thank you for having me.
I love it
here.
When you come down to Chicago. Pick up Midwest Gardener's Handbook, Melinda Myers, MYERS. That's how it's spelled. If you can't keep track of that, go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show, and you can find out all the information. It really is a terrific book.
Thank you.
You did a great job on it. How long did it take you to put this together?
It was a very stressful 6 months of writing.
That's pretty good for 6 months. Yeah, amazing.
Not much sleep and some food and beverage along the way.
A little bit of Melinda Myers wine. Okay. We say at this point, go green or
go home.